think it's just really important to say, actually, you know, we have a value here, and that's that everybody's valued, no matter how long you've been here, right?
Yes.
Everybody's valued, whether you've been here for a week or 2 weeks or a year or... But there is a special place over these 3 weeks where we've just wanted to acknowledge the faithfulness of people. And we've mentioned so many of you over the last 3 weeks, and we are so incredibly thankful. I was looking through, we wanted to put some photos up, but we just actually just basically just ran out of time, really. But I was coming across photos and remembering, oh my goodness, I forgot that we had those people. Any of you ever heard of Eddie James? I found some photographs of Eddie James when he came to minister in the church just ages and ages ago, and Steph was pictured with the band, and Eddie James was in our house, and we've just been so blessed with relationships over the years, haven't we?
We have,
and
yeah.
We're just awesome. So honored. I found some, I know we've been talking a little bit about how long everyone's been here, and I found some photographs of our lovely Stacey, and she was just a wee young teenager, like on the bus on the way to Rock Nations up there in Bradford, and we've just, an honor for us, Stacey, to watch your journey and how actually you've become this amazing mom and this woman of God, and it's just, it just means so much
awesome.
To us
so good.
To just watch people's journeys. Like Dave and Hannah, they just got married when they came, and when we say that they've never stopped serving, we mean
that's right.
They have never stopped serving. You know, they are at everything
yeah.
when they can be.
Yeah.
Their kids are in church, you know, and this is faithfulness, right?
Right.
It's just faithfulness. But we did just want to make a special mention. I think it deserves a mention to our Pete Avon. Would you just stand up, Pete, please? Pete, we just wanted to acknowledge you today, because there is a kind of like, I was talking with Jenny, and you need to sit down, that's fine. Pete came to the church, we can't exactly remember when, because we didn't used to do visitors forms, but I was talking with Jenny, your daughter, and when you came to the church, Pete, it was not many weeks after your wife, Rosie, had passed away, and you came with Jenny and Alan, and you used to travel in from Petersfield, right, until you moved into Ringwood. I mean, I don't know whether any of you know Pete very well. Pete's quite quiet, but we watched this man that we grew to love so very much just raise his children on his own. Maybe you don't realize that Pete raised his children. I remember when you went part-time, Pete, so that you could look after the kids. I can't remember how old Jenny and Alan were, and not long after your wife passed away, your son Alan went into hospital for a kidney transplant, right? And, you know, we've watched you just do life with your children and do it so very well whilst remaining forever faithful in the church. I think we're talking 27 years, which is just phenomenal. And we just wanted to say thank you so much. I think it's ever so important to honour faithfulness. Now, I was talking to Jenny. She goes, I'm going to be in trouble for this. But we did have some quite funny text conversations, she does tell me that it's really important, and her and Oliver are trying to bring you up into the 21st century, like with technology and stuff like that, and that, you know, you now see the need for, you know, proper Wi-Fi, and it would help you to have like a smartphone, and we did have some very honourable but very funny conversations, she told us there was something that you needed in your life that hopefully will hook up to the smartphone that they're going to take you shopping for at some point, that is going to help you, because then we'll be able to contact you better, and you'll be able to get the family photos quicker, right? Because they'll just come straight through to your phone. Because Jenny tells me that there was a time when you didn't need Wi-Fi in the house because you just go to work and use it. And so everything is changing, right, Pete? Yeah, it's all changing, and so we do. If it doesn't work for you, just say. But Pastor Steve's going to come and give
no,
you.
I'm struggling to walk this morning, so you're going to have to come here.
Is Pete okay to walk, Steve?
Everyone's on here this morning.
Thank you, Pete. We love you so much. Let's just 27 years is an amazing amount of time. Pete, thank you so much. And Pete's very quiet, but he's loved us personally and our family and always been there supporting us, and we're just so thankful. And we look forward to you getting a smartphone so that we can contact you quicker. So we're praying for you, Pete, and the things that you're going through right now, and believing God for you. So thank you so much. But I look out, you know, and I see Sean. Sean, you came in about 2010. You did. There's just people, phenomenal amounts of time that people have been here. But we also honour you if you've just come this year. We just honour you. We're so thankful for you all. Right. Amen.
Yes.
I can't go through everybody now because the list is too long. But we're so thankful. Amen. Amen.
Amen. That's Amen. So good. Amen. We are where we are because of the grace of God. We're so grateful and thankful. People recognise that. And do the distance, do the journey. You know, a lot of people fall by the wayside in life, don't they? You know, when you hear the parable of the sower, you know, some seeds, the seed can fall in good ground, and can fall on the soil, but doesn't always make it. And you know, we are here because of we recognize that we made up our mind, you know, a long time ago. So not everybody makes a decision. And follows through on the decision they make. How many of you have got people in your life and you think, well, you know, where are they? You know, I thought we were this and I thought we were that. We're not there anymore. Maybe it's because other people in your life don't make the decisions that you make. And really, Life Church is where it is because we had a burden on our heart to do something different, didn't we? You got a microphone there. You had to put it down.
We couldn't get away from the call.
No. And the call was we could see a need. And we could see a need of something a little bit different, couldn't we? You know, I haven't got notes.
I haven't got any notes today.
No, you got notes?
No.
We could see the need for something a little bit different. There were some people around us who could see that same need, and so we stepped out. You know, having seen a need and seeing it with something in our mind, I remember really thinking we were going to 30 years down the road we'd have a church of 30,000 people. You know, that was just something that was floating around there. And I've heard other people say that sort of thing. You know, some people start something and they see something. How many of you living with vision? How many of you living with something beyond where you are right now? You know, I hope you are, because God is a God who puts something in us which is more than where we are right now. He puts in us future vision. He puts within us something before us. And it reminds me of the account of Abraham, because one of the people that we were directed to, if you like, when we started Life Church was Abraham, because of his journey of faith. Mm. You know, we'd heard the sort of the faith message, and we'd heard there's about a faith church here or a faith church there. But really, what did that mean? And we explored that a little bit, because we were sensing God was doing something in us, because we thought there was a way more for us in the kingdom of God than we were experiencing right there and then in life. We'd heard the same things over and over again, hadn't really stretched ourselves, but we've really felt that God wanted us to stretch ourselves. Didn't really know how we were to do that, but really believed that if we were going to stretch ourselves, we had to step out on some water and maybe do a little bit of water walking, as Jesus, when he called Peter towards him, said, come, Peter gets out on the water and walks towards him. So we were thinking, you know, we had this in our heart that we were going to do some things we'd never done before. Do you think that was right?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's important to remember what God was doing in our lives before we felt the call to pastor a church, that there was a lot of stuff going on in our lives. We were already ministering. We'd already been serving God for a lot of years. With young people, and we were already running a youth ministry. And I do think that if you think you can just step in and do something without any preparation, then you're foolish, because God always prepares hearts, doesn't he? He prepares lives, and there's a sense in which he really wants to get rid of you so that he can recreate you in his image and prepare you for what he wants to do. And I can remember the years before, and so for the benefit of those of you who feel called into, I think we're all called into ministry.
We're all called to serve. We're all called to be involved in the kingdom of God. When we get saved, you know, we step into a life that becomes not about us. Yeah. What about him?
We're all saints that need to be doing the work of the ministry.
That's right.
It's just that we were called to be part of the fivefold ministry.
Yes.
That's the difference. That's all. But it doesn't make us any better than anybody else. But I do think that if there's a call to be part of the fivefold ministry, leading people, then you know there's greater stuff that can go on in your lives to make sure that you actually are equipped to do this stuff and you can do it. So we went through some really tough times, didn't we, before we said, all right, God, we'll do it, you know, basically.
Yeah. When you look back at those times, and with the benefit of hindsight, you can look back. Now, there's witnesses that have gone before us, and you can look back and you can see how God was working in us to work something through us because he had a greater call than we could see then.
I always think it's important to say, because this is about church, and we didn't want these 3 weeks to be about us, because as far as we're concerned, it's about God, and it's about all of you, you know. This church is about, you know, I remember just over a year ago, Steve, you and God said to us, just quit building services.
Right.
Build a family,
yes.
You know, and it became really, it was already in here, but sometimes in ministry there's the pressure to do stuff a certain way, and God's like, I want you to build a family.
Many times you're just doing that because someone else does it.
Yeah.
And what he shows someone else to do, maybe not what he's not the same as what he's showing you to do.
I think,
and we were a little bit like that in the early days, that we were looking around, we were looking at all sorts,
we
had a lot of examples, to follow. But we had something in our heart. And that's what we hung on to, and we made a lot of mistakes in the early days.
Yeah, we sure did. But I think it's important as well to say that, I got saved when I was 15. You were raised by a Christian family. You'd just been in church your whole life. Is that we were always, without exception, we have always been planted in a local church.
Absolutely.
And not many of them. Because,
absolutely.
You know, I think that's really important. And I understand, you know, now we're in a day of mobile, people moving around all over the place. We're so honored. If you've come from another country and you've planted yourself here, it's honorable. And we love you for that. Amen.
Yeah.
I think it's critical, you know, that we do that. But we haven't been in many churches. We did move away once and we were in a church somewhere else and we lived in Shaftesbury. Our daughter Hannah was born in Shaftesbury. And we were planted in a church in Blandford, actually. But we've always been planted in a church. We have always served in a church. And I think God looks at faithfulness.
Yeah.
He is not interested in hirelings or in one-hit wonders.
No.
God is looking. He is faithful, and he expects his people to be faithful. Right. Amen?
You can't expect yourself to be fruitful if you're not planted.
No.
If you're not, you know, or faithful. Yeah. Because, you know, what is it, where are you drawing any nourishment from?
Yeah.
Bible says in Psalm 90, I always forget to get this wrong. Is it 92, verse 13, or
13? This is
like
gray matter.
Those who are planted in the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in their old age.
Yeah.
And so we're still looking to bear fruits.
Sure.
You know, we're old age, according to some people. You know, some of you are just youngsters, mere snippets of people, you know, just.
Yeah. How many people here are not even 30? Put your hand up if you're not 30. It's like, don't be embarrassed if you're not 30. It's fine. There's not many hands that aren't 30.
I got my hair cut this week, and I was talking to the lady who's colouring my hair, and she said to me, I didn't realise how old you are. You can get seniors concession. don't worry about it. You know.
Yeah. But we were in our 20s when we were ministering, and there is nothing wrong with being under 30. No. I tell you.
But we were always church people. We were, made a decision. You know, you weren't even raised in church, but you made it in 1 week when you got saved. You started going to church. God had planted in church. Those who are planted in church, in the house of the Lord, shall flourish in the courts of our God. God is looking for people who will flourish. You know, we'd even on our honeymoon, I think we looked for a church to go to.
Yeah, we did.
You know, and as soon as we moved, okay, we moved to little place. We moved to Bristol, outside Bristol for a while. The first Sunday we were there, moved house, we looked for a church. We went to a church because, you know, I thought we knew somebody who went to a church in a particular village, and I think we probably sat in someone else's seat. We weren't popular. Yeah. We went and found another church and planted ourselves in that church. That was a blessing to us. Stephanie was born remember being fed by people in the church while you were in hospital having our first daughter.
Yeah, because those days you didn't come out, you went in and you stayed in. Yeah, like, you know, for a week
or
more.
And I wasn't capable of cooking, so somebody else has got to cook for me, you know. Yeah. Yeah, so being planted in the house of God is so important to us. We made a lot of mistakes in the early days, and we're still making a lot of mistakes now, but hopefully we're making less mistakes.
I hope so too.
You know, hope we're making less mistakes. One of the things, and we believe that we could trust God for things, and we could trust God on our journey, no matter what happened. And we've been through a lot of things how long have we been married? 46, 45, mm-hmm. 46 years? We've been through a lot of things, and the church has seen us go through those things. You know, the church has been in some challenging situations, and we've been in three different locations. The church has been in challenging situations. But we've always trusted God, because one of the things we counted Him faithful. And when we speak, look at Abraham in Romans chapter 4 and verse, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. You know, we knew God has spoken to us. And when you say God speaks, it's very important that we know that He has spoken. If we're going to speak that out, you know, when people say, well, God said this and God said that, well, did He really say that? It's very significant when we say God speaks. You know, because we're putting His word, if you like, almost like to the test. It's very significant when we say He speaks, because if we say He speaks and He hasn't spoken, that's significant. If we say He speaks and He has spoken, that is significant too. So we had to run with that. And Abraham had this promise, didn't he? He says, and he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. And that's how Abraham, if you like, received his salvation. We receive ours by grace through faith. But Abraham was convinced, and he didn't waver at the promise. And one of the things we've never done, really, you know, we were to waver at the promise. When we have come to us times, many times, when, you know, we have situations where you could have wavered at a promise, you know, we dig ourselves in, we strengthen ourselves in our God.
That's not to say I never wavered at the promise. I think there was occasions when it was so wild, the ride was so wild, that I did wonder, what on earth are we doing?
We paid a heavy price.
Yeah, but it's...
paid a heavy price.
When you look at when God calls you to build something, you can either look at, like, this is just because there are parts of the 30 years that have just been horrific, but you look at how amazing God has been as well, right? But there have been times when I've thought, I'm just not sure about you, God.
Yeah. God allows you sometimes to go on journeys.
But you quickly come back and you realize, you know, actually, where would I be without God?
Yeah.
You know, where would we be? You know, and you come, you make the decision to be in church. You make the decision to praise God anyway, right? Which is so important. I see so many Christians just, you're miserable. No one here ever. But I have come across Christians, they're just so self-indulgent in their own stuff, and they forget, listen, if you praise Him anyway, amen?
Yes.
If you just get up off your bottom, amen, and stand up and shout to the Lord, amen, that heavy yoke will drop off you. But if you persist in living in self-indulgence in your pity party, amen, you're giving the devil all the authority that he wants in your life to just wreck you, you know. And so when it has been hard, I think that was always our non-negotiable, is that we've got non-negotiables. We had them in our family. We raised our girls this way. We have three girls, two here with their, you know, Steph and Kelvin are here with the girls. Hannah's here. Abby and her family, we've got three amazing grandsons. Right now they worship in a church in Bournemouth, but we raised them with this non-negotiable. When times get tough, we never say or never confess anything else except God is good all of the time.
Right.
And we've made praise and we've made worship a priority in our lives. We make the word a priority. Amen. And as hard as it is, if you start confessing all that negative stuff,
right,
and if you walk around with a face like a slap backside, amen, you know, and say, well, I'm a Christian, you know, but if you walk around, amen, because God gives us, you know, the oil of joy, right? He gives us a garment of praise. He gives us joy instead of ashes. And it's not that the ashes aren't there. It's not that the hard times aren't there. And, you know, I'm just thinking back just recently, you know, to a time when I think it was about 7 years when there was just nothing but bereavement, nothing but hassle in our lives, just nothing but heartbreak, you know. And I'd be like, God, what on earth are you doing? But, you know, in those times, you know, when you say, I'm going to praise him anyway, and I have stood here recently, you know, in pain in every way, just making that decision that he I am going to give him the glory. Amen.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yes.
And it changes stuff. And there's a place, you know, were you tapping me to stop?
No.
Okay, that's right.
Touching your leg. That's right.
That's right. He's allowed to, right?
I can touch your leg in church.
If you're single, just stop. Okay. And I feel like what I want to say is that sometimes, and many, many times, and it's God's business that he does this, he prunes us and he humbles us.
Yes.
And he shoves us on the threshing floor, not because he dislikes us. It's because he wants to do a work in us.
Right.
It's because he loves us. Mm. All discipline is because he loves us.
Right.
And God's kindness leads us to repentance. Amen?
Yes.
And, you know, and I want to just say this because I've been thinking about this week, is the times that, you know, when you're leading something, you've got to be humble. There's a lot of people out there, they are so proud, they're almost inside out. They think so much of themselves, you know. But God calls us to be a people of humility. And you're never going to successfully lead anything if you think you're oh so wonderful. You know, God knocked Saul off his horse and he got up as Paul. And that's what God does, because he wants to use us. And so there is a place where of humbleness, but becomes a really sacred place in our lives.
Yes.
It is a holy place. If God is trying to humble you,
right,
it's a place of holiness. And I think that that is really, really important that we learn that, instead of just walking around all cocky and, you know, and full of pride.
Right.
God can't do a thing with us when we think it's all about us, and we can't humble ourselves to say, I've got it wrong, or I recognize God wants to do something in my life right now. You know, it is a place of holiness.
Right.
And sometimes, and more so, if God really wants to get a hold of you and use you, he may knock you off your horse and you may get up with a completely different vision.
That's right. That's a good word. And maybe that's a word for somebody here this morning, or two or three of us, you know. That's a good word today.
Yeah.
Powerful. That's strong. You know, God is speaking today. You know, we always say when we get here on the platform, whether it's me, you, anybody, whatever's going on in the house of God, we should take something away with us that's going to help us. You know, I hope you heard something this day. We're not going to go too much longer. But that is so important. We're celebrating, you know, church today. We're celebrating Life Church. We're so thankful for these opportunities when you're in those certain situations, you need your church family.
Totally.
You need your church family. That's what we're celebrating, is 30 years of Life Church. We haven't got any, you know, we're not coming to a place where we're going to slow down and close down. You know, we're just getting, you know, fired up to do even more than what God has for us. It's going to look, it may look different. You know, church looks very different now to what it looked maybe 30 years ago. You know, even just not just the photographs of us as we look then. And now we set things up. We're doing church very differently. We are so focused on seeing the presence of God as we gather. You know, it's so important that we see the presence of God, because in our services, in our times together, and in gathering, that we see his presence. You know, it may not be ever so structured sometimes. You know, it may not be ever so slick and, you know, shiny and perfect. but we love the presence of Jesus. Yeah. We love the presence of Jesus. Mm. And, you know, to be in the house of God is so important, even if you don't always feel like it. You know, get into the house of God. Mm. Now, I'm thinking about some of the most challenging seasons we've had in our life, some of the most challenging times have kicked off, you know, but just before church on a Sunday morning.
Sure.
You know, but after midnight on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
And, you know, we we've still been able to be one of us at least or whatever, and we've still been able to be in the house of God and see his, and it's been such a blessing for us, such a healing and such a strengthening for us to get to where God has for us to get.
It's like you need each other.
You do, yeah.
But if you are so proud that you think you don't need anyone, then you're mistaken.
Yeah.
Like, we call people. We have people we call and say, we're going through this, we're going through that. Yeah. And it's not some minister in a far-off land. We have people here we call and say, can you pray for us? This is just so painful right now. Yeah. Can you pray for us?
Yeah.
And that's the working, that's how the body of Christ works. When we first began, we structured everything.
Yeah.
And now we realize even more, right, that actually the church is supposed to function like a body.
Absolutely.
We need one another.
Every part.
Doing its part.
And we love you.
Yeah.
You know, I hope you love each other. You know, there's such in the church right now, you know, a sense of community, sense
of joy and
just being together. It's good to be together. It's good. And we love having fun together. Mm. But we love the presence of Jesus. Mm.
I looked out in my garden last Sunday. I was back in the kitchen because we had, you know, some of you ladies, you came and we had a blast, didn't we, girls? It was amazing. Had a ladies' garden party, you know, and as I looked out of the window and Steph said afterwards, you know, it's something I've been longing for years, and it's taken like near on 30 years to get there. It's just this true sense of sisterhood where there's 13-year-olds there and then there's Linda and I, you know, we're clocking on a bit, right, Linda? You know, because Linda's been here a jolly long time, you know, as well. And we appreciate you, Linda. You know, not only, I love the way that you accept us as your pastors, but we're also friends, right? There's a fine balance going on right there, but it's a good balance. And I was looking out and I'm just thinking, all these different ages, all these different nations, and it was just unity, and it was just amazing.
Yeah. Amen.
Sisterhood, yeah.
Amen.
There's strength in that.
Hope you've received something this morning in these few moments. Pretty much, because you've told me to watch the time.
We got a few more minutes.
Got a few more minutes.
Yeah. Because I was going to say as well, like, don't let me do all the talking. Don't let me. But Pastor Robert, he said 30 years is just the beginning.
Yeah. Maybe a number of people have said that. A number of prophetic words have said that. You know, 30 years' time may not look like it looks now. But there will still be Life Church here, I believe, unless Jesus comes.
I hope so.
There'll still be Life Church here.
Yeah.
I look out in the community in which we live in, and the community needs Jesus.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
And the church is what can be the voice.
Yeah.
Because I don't see churches doing what I believe totally we're called to do yet. Mm. There's a whole lot more to do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good works going on. A lot of good stuff going on, a lot of good work, but the world can do good works. Mm. What the world can't do is bring Jesus into communities. What the world can't do is usher the Spirit of God in to touch people's lives and move them from a place of desperateness to a place of hope.
Yes.
Move them from a place of living without Christ to a place of living with him. Mm. You know, I don't believe that at the moment there's enough, you know, soul reaping, if you see what I mean.
No.
You know, there's not enough of gospel preaching. Yeah, taking place. You know, there's a lot of good works, a lot of stuff going on. But the church, I believe, needs to get to its place more, where we rise up and say, this is what we're here for, to make known the wisdom of God to the world, you know, to principalities and powers. Mm. And the church needs to be who we're called to be.
Yeah.
And we're not called to just sit back and just do little social events and just do, you know, do a little bit of gathering, a little bit of coming together. You know, that's great, and it's important that we come together. But we need to be changing our communities, you know, not just in a corporate setting of church, but in the communities in which we live, in the streets where you live, in the schools where you work, in the hospitals, you know, in the neighborhoods, in the coffee shops, wherever it is we find ourselves. You know, we need to be making known the things of Jesus.
Absolutely.
And being an example.
Yeah.
Being an example of Jesus Christ. I love the word that Pastor Andy brought on Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. If you weren't here, be sure to get that. You know, listen to that.
Go to the website.
Go to the website and find the podcast. It wasn't streamed. So get that message, get that in you, because we are carrying the life of Christ. Mm. Let's be that people who is life, church. Mm. You know, not just some other name, but just life, church. Mm. We're carrying the life of Christ. Jesus isn't walking this earth right now, but you and I are.
Yeah.
You know, let's be Jesus in our communities. Mm. And see our communities change. See our worlds change. Be a witness. Don't just blend in and look like anybody else. And while they're just the people that go to church on a Sunday. Yes, we are the people that go to church on a Sunday. We are also the people that speak Jesus and that bring his presence into situations where we find ourselves. Mm. And so, you know, be encouraged, church.
Yeah.
You know, and as life, church, let's just stay connected, stay together, stay strong, encourage each other, build each other up. You know, do what we're called to do as the body of Christ.
Because God is faithful, amen.
Amen.
He's very faithful.
Amen.
And, you know, I would say to people, if you're going through a hard time, never forget that God is not the author of destruction.
Right.
He's only the author of a good future and a purpose and things to hope for.
It's amazing that the things that people grab hold of when they're going through challenging times, even Christians. Yeah, what on earth are you grabbing hold of that for?
Yeah.
You know, hook in, strengthen yourself in your God.
Yeah.
Strengthen yourself in your God. Live with the promise. Even if you may not be in ministry and say, well, I haven't got a great promise of God. Yes, you have.
Yeah.
You've got a purpose and a plan that God has put on you.
See, and it's this, isn't it? It's this word that will set you free.
Yes.
And sometimes people, you know, and I know because we've been doing this for a long time now. You know, we have been pastoring for 30 years. Mm. Before that, we were in ministry. And I see people looking all over the place for an answer. You know, maybe they'll touch wood. I'm like, well, what is that going to do for you? Like, it's a piece of wood that was made in a factory. What is that going to do for you, touching wood? Or what is other superstitious stuff? You know, I grew up in a family that was really superstitious. You know, and I think we need to understand that God says just don't touch that stuff.
That's right.
Amen. Because it's like foreign gods. Yes. We're replacing the power of God with something foreign, with the foreign gods. So we just don't get into that stuff. Mm. Because I see people looking for truth. Mm. And if as believers we don't hold the truth, what have we got to give to a world that is just broken? Amen.
Yeah.
Where kids are struggling, they don't know who they are anymore, and they're allowed to choose.
Yeah.
And what are we gonna offer unless we have this truth on the inside of us? Amen.
Amen.
You know, superstitious, like don't walk under that ladder or don't put that umbrella up inside, you know, is not anyone's answer. Amen. The kids are coming back. This truth, they're coming out for cake. Come in quietly, kids. Okay, just come sit quietly with your parents. Like, this is the truth. And I think if my final words, I never have a final word, actually. But maybe my final words of encouragement would be, is to never replace the word of God with some crazy worldly idea. It's nuts to think that some strange worldly behavior is your answer when Jesus came and gave it all for us.
Amen.
He is the answer. Amen. And so that's what I feel is, that's what I have always encouraged people, you know, just know the truth. It's the truth that sets us free.
I am the way, the truth, and the life.
I see people digging around in all sorts of stuff. You know, don't dig around in stuff that's not in the Word.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you read this, you'll see the things that you're not supposed to dig around in.
Yeah.
Amen? And the wells that you are supposed to dig.
Right?
Because we're supposed to have a well of salvation.
Right?
And if you're going through a hard time and you filled your life with peculiar things, you know, I grew up in a home that was full of fortune telling and stuff like that. And all it did was mess me up. But if you fill your life with the truth, It will set you free. Right. Amen.
Amen.
It will totally set you free.
Yes.
It's a solid ground.
Yes.
It's the rock. It's the level that we live by in
right.
our lives.
Yes.
It never tells us any lies.
No.
It only washes us clean. The Word
yeah.
of God washes
right.
us clean
yeah.
so that we can see clearly. Amen.
Amen.
That we can look in a mirror
that's right.
and not walk away and forget who we
that's
are.
Right.
We can look in a mirror and remember who we are. We're
mm.
made in the image of Christ
right.
Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. In His image
Amen.
And in His image alone.
Amen.
Created by God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Created to worship. Created
that's
for
right.
His purposes.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. It's good.
Amen. Well, we're going to...
Good word.
Yeah, it's the truth, isn't it?
It's
suddenly it's got really noisy up
we,
here.
We are expected in the days in which we live, we're expected to believe all sorts of stuff, go down all sorts
mm.
of paths, you know, accept this and accept that, be politically correct
yeah.
and politically correct in this area and that area. Yeah, come on, we need to live by the word of God. Raise up, be who we're called to be in Christ Jesus. You hear what we're saying this morning?
Is Hannah up here? Is our Hannah up here? Oh, that's Hannah H. There's a lot of Hannahs in this building. Is our Hannah up here? Okay, because we did want to acknowledge our own family. So could we take just a couple of moments to acknowledge our own family, please?
Yes,
yeah?
Absolutely. Come on, family.
If you didn't know, you've only just come up. And we did want to just acknowledge our family, because when you... plant a church, you make a decision for your family, really, as well.
They didn't have a choice in the early days.
This is what we're doing, guys. We're going to follow the call. And we're ever so thankful that our Stephanie, Kelvin, Grace, Sophia, please. And Abigail isn't here, but obviously, do you want my chair, Steve? Do you need this? Okay, we're obviously... supremely thankful for our own family who answered the call with us, and we understand it's not been easy over the years at all, but we are really thankful. And I'm sure if you look at the family that are here, you'd like to say thank you to them as well for everything that they do. Yeah.
Okay. Everybody be quiet. Teach your voice on. Clap, 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 clap. yeah, 30 years ago, I was 2 years now. I was 12 years old, 12 and a half years old. And we just said yes. We did what we were told. And but it's been a joy mixed with lots of other things that are not joyful mixed in with that over 30 years. But at the end of the day, we have seen God's faithfulness in our family. Just in our personal lives, I think I appreciate now as an older person and as a wife and as a mother, when I look back and I can remember really clearly my mum and dad being younger than we are now. And I remember the things that were happening in our lives back then. And I think, oh my gosh, I think we would literally freak out, you know, the things that they were dealing with. So now I have a huge appreciation and can hand on my heart, say God has been at the center of absolutely everything. And it's a joy to be raising our own family now and seeing our own children serving God. And making friends, and they have friendships here that there's kids that they're friends with that they've never not known, and this is just what they do. They are part of a church family, and it's just so important. It really is so important.
Yeah, I'll just echo that, really. I think as I guess the person on the platform that kind of came into this as opposed to was just kind of raised in it, you know, I think you have a different sort of appreciation for some of the pressure and stresses and hard work and effort that goes into running the church. So, I feel that it's a real privilege to be a part of that. I'm hugely appreciative to everyone in the church that's made the last 30 years possible, you know, however long you've been here, I think, to say you kind of have a different appreciation of it when you're part of that day in, day out kind of cycle, but there's a huge amount of effort and hard work, and I have a huge amount personally to thank Pastor Steve and Susie for, as I say, joining the family, as it were, raising my children. You know, my life certainly is very different to what it was before, and I'm hugely grateful to be a part of this church, hugely thankful for the hard work and effort that goes in, day out, and grateful to everyone that's a part of making it happen as well. It's a great thing to be a part of. Girls?
Yeah, so I was 10. A very small 10-year-old where mum and dad started the church. Don't remember anything any different. Always loved being here. Had numerous people over the years saying, why are you still in Poole? Why are you still in the same church? Because I'm called here. I love this church. I love my town. I love Dorset. If you know me, I love where I live. So, yeah, forever grateful that I'm here, that I've got my parents' support through all these years, that they've kept me on track. And, you know, it's been amazing just to serve our local community in Poole. I absolutely love this town. So, yeah, and just grateful that mum and dad have just committed their whole lives, surrendered everything. When they could have given up, they've carried on. So I'm really thankful for that. Yeah, I've got heart for people, heart for all of you here, heart for every family and person. And, yeah, we live in a good place. I'm thankful to obviously the people that have been here for a long time that have supported mum and dad, Pete, Jova, Evie, Hannah West, Linda, Uzor, Dave and Hannah, Stacey, so many people. I'm just looking out now thinking there's a lot of people that aren't here, but there are also people that have been here for years and years and years. So, yeah, I've made my closest friends here, and you're all family to me. So this is family. Love it.
We're also so thankful for Abigail. She's not here, but all the years that she worked here as well. And, it's incredible to have family with you when you're doing something. And I want to say that our girls can multitask. They can do absolutely anything because they've had to over the years, from running the crèche to doing kids' work to greeting to, you know, doing all manner of stuff. And I just want to encourage you to raise your children in the house of God. Amen. Raise your children in the house of God, where, especially in this day and age where maybe there isn't always the role models, here you'll find a role model. In church, you'll find a role model. Amen. I wonder whether some could just light the candles on the cake. There should be 32. There's two big ones. There's a lighter there. Otherwise, the kids aren't going to have anything to blow out, are they? Let me just light all those candles. Well, we're just going to pray, because Jamie Jigsaw will be here soon. He's here.